This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Glad to have you listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show, Dukes and Bell. Here's the deal, guys. Coming up, we are going to talk more about our Atlanta Falcons and the fact that we've got this national spotlight on us because we've got all these, these primetime games. We got to get into the reasoning behind this and what it means for Michael Penix. We're going to talk about that. Some guy talks on the way, and we'd love to hear from you. Great stuff. Mike, what were you telling me one of our listeners was saying about Day-Day's trip?
He says, man, with all due respect, Day-Day, no way in heck. He said, I'm going to have that much family without some drama. Have a few cold ones for me, bro. And by the way, one thing we did leave out in the Yeah Man, No Man segment, I told Day-Day, I said, you're not going to wait for these guys at the baggage claim, right? You just tell everybody, here's the gate, and you get yourself through TSA, because I've seen that. I've seen like the Brady Bunch go through the TSA, and it's a blank show.
Yeah, I told my wife that exactly. I said, we're not waiting. I said, we're telling my daughter and we're telling my sister-in-law, meet us at the gate. We're not waiting on you. Plus, we got a cheat code. We got the 80-year-old with us. So.
Oh, yeah, you got the wheelchair.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Nice.
That's true. That does help. Yeah, man, it just feels like there's a lot there. Day-Day, you will survive. All right, man, let's talk some dogs. Connor Riley is here, Dog Nation. Connor, you wrote a great piece about Kirby wanting this team to do two things better. Now, you know, I don't want to just say those are the two things that are going to take this team over the top, but let's talk about this because when you say where does Georgia need to improve, were you surprised by the things that he said he wants them to be better at?
No, because one of, I think, the big takeaways that this Georgia team had coming out of the Notre Dame game last year was they got to do more around the quarterback. And look, I know Gunnar Stockton replacing Carson Beck is going to draw a lot of attention, and understandably so. But one, I don't think Gunnar Stockton is as naturally gifted a quarterback as Carson Beck is. And two, like, I thought Gunnar actually played decent in that game against Notre Dame, but they couldn't run the ball effectively, and they put so much on the shoulders of the quarterback that it just became too much for him and any one individual to overcome. So they know that they need to do a better job running the ball. This is something that people were saying throughout the season, and Kirby, you know, sort of sidestepping it during the year, saying some of it is opponent based. But I think when you are able to look at the issue in totality, they finished 102nd in the country in rushing last season. It was the worst rushing offense by a good margin under Kirby Smart last year, and there are a number of reasons why that was the case. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, again, when your offense is what it was a season ago, the margin is so slim that, you know, a small slip in going from a top five rush defense to the number 30 rush defense, it is pretty drastic when you're trying to win a national championship. And one of those things that you just banked on was always having a great run defense. And I think we saw specifically against teams that had mobile quarterbacks, they found ways to give Georgia's run defense problems, which that's just a math thing. But you look at the games that they lost, Alabama, Ole Miss, Notre Dame, all of those teams found great success, some more than others in terms of explosive rushing attack, but consistently getting 5, 6, 7 yards rushing the ball with their quarterback. So they've got to figure out ways to both run the ball and do a better job stopping the run. And I know that both of those sort of run counter to this idea that Georgia is having to go out there and replace a new quarterback and have a better offense than a season ago.
It's Connor Riley with us, guys, from Dog Nation. Last week when Carl was on vacay, we found out about Jackson Cantwell, the number one offensive lineman who decides to go to Miami over Georgia. And then we had a lot of conversation subsequently about that, Connor. Could Kirby not guarantee he could start as a freshman? And was that part of it? Or at the end of the day, it just comes down to Miami's collective simply brought more money to the equation?
I think it's, you know, sure, a little bit of Miami being able to say, hey, we're going to be able to start you day one. But from my understanding and my reporting on the issue on it, and Jeff Sintel, who was in Missouri and spoke with Drew Rosenhaus, the agent, Georgia's financial offer was not close to what Miami had been willing to give. And Georgia was willing to make Jackson Cantwell one of, if not potentially, the highest paid recruit they had ever made. And Miami was still going to blow them out of the water in that regard. Pete Makos of On3, who has become very well trusted in the matters of reporting on NIL, reported that it was around $2.5 million is what Jackson Cantwell is going to get in his first year.
Wow.
And look, Georgia values great offensive tackles more than just about anybody. You know, you look at Broderick Jones, Andrew Thomas, even Amarius Mims, who is more of a right tackle. They won a lot with great offensive tackles. And Georgia, for a variety of reasons, deemed that the price tag for Cantwell was just a little too rich. Whereas Miami, who, as we saw this offseason, was willing to shell out $4 million for Carson Beck, which I think a lot of Georgia fans would say that's probably too much. Miami showed a willingness to spend and say, hey, we're going to go all in on this guy, Jackson Cantwell. And Georgia made a decision ultimately to not try and match in that regard.
I'm not fussing at you, Connor, but I'm sitting here and you know, just hearing you talk about this money for an offensive tackle who's done nothing at the collegiate level, who hadn't even shown whether he can stop a blitz, make a reach block, protect his quarterback. Like, and it's blowing me away, and I'm not fussing at you. What I am saying is this is the problem, right? I mean, seriously, if he comes into Miami and is able to prove that in year two, if you said he's getting that, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But he's coming out of high school and he's getting this, and you're going, wait a minute, isn't there something fundamentally wrong with that?
Right, and this is what Kirby said last week. You know, he takes issue with the fact that, you know, potentially a college freshman who has never done anything, as you point out, Carl, is making more than a senior potentially would. And to your point, like, let's say, okay, Jackson Cantwell comes in and lives up to the hype in year one. Do you think he's going to be content to just make $2.5 million
right, again?
Or do you think it's going to be a Nico situation where he's like, okay, yeah, this was the old deal, and now that I've started performing, I want to get paid even more of that? And we're still waiting and seeing what the ultimate final numbers are going to be with the House settlement that could be potentially wrapped up as soon as this week. Although, let's be honest, we've been saying that for about the past 7 weeks now. So, you know, how that all factors into it will be interesting to me going forward. But I think, and Carl, you hit on it, and this is something that frustrates Kirby as well. It's not that he missed out on Jackson Cantwell. Like, they're going to miss out on recruits. They're not going to land every five-star recruit that they go to the mat for. But when the financials become what they are and those get out, and now there's probably going to be an expectation moving forward where if you're the number one offensive tackle in the country next year, like Cantwell is, 2.5 might be seen as your starting number. And that, as Kirby Smart has pointed out time and time again, before even getting into the chemistry aspect, is just not sustainable in this sport.
Right, and that's the thing. You know, we heard Kirby's comments. We were playing a lot of it as Connor Riley from Dog Nation joins. We were playing the audio last week, Carl, where basically Kirby's like, I can't pay a freshman more money than I'm paying an upperclass. That's not the world we're living in. I mean, if we ever get these guardrails, Connor, which, I mean, I don't know, the president's committee with Nick Saban and all this, okay, I don't know if that's going to lead to anything, but I just don't think even Kirby, the greatest coach currently coaching, can say that and walk that walk, because the lifeblood of the program is recruiting, and this is the going rate.
And you know, again, I think this eventually these schools are going to have to come together, and they're going to have to decide, hey, we're going to have to do something for the betterment of the college sport rather than acting in our own self-interest, because that's ultimately what leads to Miami saying, hey, we feel comfortable giving Jackson Cantwell $2.5 million for year one because it's in the best interest of our program and not the best interest in the recruits moving forward and the overall health of the sport. And I can tell you, because in just talking to fans and talking to people, all this talk about financials and players making more and how much these guys are making and the transfer portal, all of this adds up, and it does start to disenfranchise your fan base. And eventually it's going to come to the point, in my opinion, where
these fans who are right now being asked to fit the bill, these boosters who are being asked, hey, we need you to shell out money so we can go get a Jackson Campbell, so we can go get a Jared Curtis, are going to say, well, I don't want to spend my money on a product I'm not really enjoying and I'm not getting the same level of enjoyment out of going forward. There will always be some schools that, yes, are willing to pay more. That's just the reality of life. But I do believe that college football is getting closer and closer to a certain point of it really aggravating its key fans. Its older fans, I think, are already starting to feel that way with the way the transfer portal and all this has gone about. And moving forward, if you're not able to build fans because fans in college kids don't know who they're going to be rooting for on a year-in, year-out basis because which players are going to stick around, you do put yourself in a very slippery slope long-term for the health of this sport.
Connor Riley from Dog Nation joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Coming up, more on the Falcons and why many believe the Falcons are going to be good TV. Connor, let me ask you about not going into the portal for a quarterback. I continue to get this question from dog fans that I run into. I think many of them are surprised that they didn't go after a quarterback in the portal. What's your answer to that?
It's interesting. You know, we look at this position. We knew they were going to have to replace Carson Beck. And there have been a lot of talk about, okay, who's Georgia going to be able to go out there and get? You've seen in recent years, you know, Jaden Daniels, Cam Ward are Heisman Trophy winners that came out of the portal. Will Howard was Ohio State's quarterback last year. He won a national championship after transferring in from Kansas State. So you can find both individual and team examples of success coming out of the portal. But for me, it's interesting in that, you know, I always believed that Georgia was looking for a very specific type of player to come in and compete at the quarterback position. I don't think that they were going to be able to guarantee a starting spot like Miami ultimately did with Carson Beck, because they want to see the payoff for Gunnar Stockton and what they've invested in him as the team's starting quarterback, where he's waited three full seasons. And yes, he made his first start at the end of last year. And, you know, they wanted somebody who I think could potentially be depth. But at the end of the day, I don't think that there was a quarterback out there that felt, hey, I can come in and I can start over Gunnar Stockton. And I think, one, it speaks to how this staff feels about Gunnar Stockton. I think they want to see what he can do. I think they want to see how he can go about leading this team. Because while I don't believe that he is a better quarterback than Carson Beck, I do think that he brings better leadership qualities and can help elevate those around the Georgia program in a way that I don't think Carson necessarily did last season. And they want to see a guy that they've always felt really comfortable in, with a guy that not just Mike Bobo, but Kirby Smart as well, has always very much believed in. And I think because of that belief in Gunnar Stockton, both not even so much what it meant on the field, but just from a locker room chemistry camaraderie standpoint, I think that that was always going to make it difficult for Georgia to end up taking a transfer portal quarterback that wanted to come here. And that's actually ended up boring out over the course of this offseason.
All right. So now it's basically all the eggs are in the basket with him. He's got to be the man. And I know that, as you said to start the interview, it's kind of a tough sample size because they probably asked too much of him before the halftime. And then, of course, you know, you combine that with this, the Notre Dame special teams play and the kick return, and that was all she wrote. So I don't know. And you can't put that on Gunnar. I mean, yes, you want to believe you have confidence in him, but in hindsight, safe to say Bobo and them would just simply have just tried run the football before halftime.
Right. And, you know, that's something where Kirby Smart said after the game they were trying to be aggressive. But I think knowing what you know, you're down 6-3, which ironically would have been the score of that Texas game where Georgia came out. Now, granted, Georgia got the ball first in the second half of that SEC championship game, whereas Notre Dame was getting the ball first in that college football playoff game. But you're right, Mike. They have put a lot of this program on the Gunnar Stockton and what the future, specifically when it comes to 2025 and likely 2026 as well. I don't think Gunnar is going to be a one-and-done type starting quarterback. A lot of this is now on Gunnar Stockton, and they've made a real investment for him to get to this point, sticking with him and developing him. And you've seen enough in the win against Texas and in the loss against Notre Dame where, you know, is he going to light the world on fire? Is he going to be a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback? No, probably not. But there is something that he brings to this team, and I think they're interested in seeing, you know, can that energy that he brings last over the course of a full 15-16 game season and help elevate Georgia back to where they were in 2021 and 2022 when they were winning national championships.
Connor, great stuff. Tell the people where they can find you.
Yep, you can follow me on Twitter, @KConnorRiley. You know, big time of year where there's not a whole lot going on in football, but Georgia won a national championship in women's tennis yesterday. Softball advances to super regionals, and baseball, they got one of the better baseball programs in the country at this point.
Yeah. All right, man. That's our man, Connor Riley. More dog talk, as we said earlier to start the last hour. Danny Hall, congratulations to Georgia Tech winning their ACC title, Carl, in baseball.
Yeah, that's a big deal, man. They hadn't done that in a long time. First in 20 years.
His final season as coach.
Crazy. We're coming back. Are we going to be good TV? A lot of people think so. And I'm one of them. It's Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
So we got a lot of primetime games. We're talking about the Falcons. That's good, but why? It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Look, we were at times very entertaining last year, but nowhere near where I think we're going to be if all these offensive weapons click. And, Mike, we said it. The defense has to be better. That is an area where I think we are going to see improvement. But the main reason, guys, is Michael Penix. Penix is a show, and people want to see it. And a lot of NFL insiders and people who are – inside of the league office, you know, obviously when you're putting the schedules together and all of that, you're thinking about these things. Guys, they were even thinking about, and I know this may sound crazy, where Aaron Rodgers was going to land because he's a draw. Whether we like how he's dealing with this whole I'm retired or not situation, they look at these quarterbacks and they go, this is a matchup that people are going to be interested in outside of your division games. And obviously, you know, the league is locked in to where you're playing, whether it's NFC East or West or whatever. But Mike, we are going to be good for TV. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I think, and we touched on this a little bit last week, I think Bijan Robinson being such a big factor for fantasy owners and just being a brand right now, he's one of the top running backs. What you believe in Drake, you know, and certainly Michael Penix Jr., it was a small, as we know, sample size, but Sunday Night Football, And he's a, you know, a guy that people recognize from the college football playoffs. And he certainly put on a show and did enough to win that game against the Commanders. And I think that they're certainly the NFL schedule makers are banking on him really picking the ball and running with it and throwing, well, more throwing it than running with it. But you get the idea.
Yeah, I think so, too. 404-726-0929. Adam Schefter said Penix and what he could bring and what he could do. The league is excited about that. And again, this is not – understand us, because we always feel like we, as Atlanta, we get disrespected. Mm. They are not over-promoting that because we're in primetime games, somehow we get an advantage. What they are saying, though, is, Mike, we could be one of the draws around the league where we haven't necessarily been. Guys, we all know this, right? The biggest time that this city, you know, as far as our football team in the draw was Mike Vick. We know this. Mm. And I don't know if we'll ever get back to that because that was such a unique situation. But, Mike, even in our Super Bowl year, we didn't become a draw. Hell, we were 5-0, and people were like, okay, they may be good.
Right.
So I just feel like if we get this buzz and this team is able to live up to it, and Penix, and let's talk about this, does this add more pressure to what we expect from him, knowing that the league is promoting the fact that, hey, the Falcons are on in prime time way more than anybody expected us to be?
I think that two ways of looking at this. This is a team which last year should have been in the playoffs. We should have been a 10 or if whatever happened, you know, however you want to say it, if McGarry doesn't trip over Lindstrom's foot.
That's right.
And Kirk doesn't go down, we're probably winning 10 or 11 games. I mean, I do think we beat the coup again. Bill Parcells famously said, your record is what your record is. But I do think we underperformed. I think that the NFL thought we'd be better, and I think they still think the core is better.
Yeah.
And then if you add if you believe in what we've done defensively, the commitment to it on the defensive side, I do think there's a perception now. It doesn't matter. Those guys know what they've got. I don't think the noise outside Vegas has it. Seven. Vegas doesn't believe in the Falcons. The NFL believes this by putting us all these games.
Yeah.
Vegas says we'll be lucky to win 8 or 9 games this year.
I think Penix to Drake London, Penix to Darnell Mooney, Bijan, all of this stuff is just getting people excited.
Right.
And here's the other thing, and I know you guys saw this, maybe you didn't, but the Falcons, they love to do this. They put out that slow motion throw of Michael Penix last week, right?
No.
And everybody was like, oh my God.
Right.
And the ball looked like it was in the air for like 90 years, right? Right. But the
NFL films.
Yes, yeah, but the beauty of the spiral, and you're like, right, man, he throws a beautiful, and the ball's still going, and you're like, who's he throwing it to? And you can't see the receiver, and he's like, right, it's still going, and then all of a sudden you see a receiver in the. That's the stuff people are thinking about.
I mean, the way that video was shot, you're waiting to see the football pass by the International Space Station.
Yes.
You know, and now it's going past the moon, right? You know, it's like, no, and I think it's funny because I think Data and I were joking on the radio that week. The dying quail in the background is presumably Kirk Cousins' throw, whoever the other quarterback was. But yeah, I mean, look, we saw that's what got us so excited about Penix throwing such a good ball in the Pac-12 in those big playoff games, you know, in the wins over Oregon. So yeah, I mean, you're betting on that. But I do think, you know, we should have been in the playoffs last year. That has no bearing because the schedule this year is much tougher. We just covered that.
Yeah,
Carl got a chance to react because he was off last week. We spent a number of days on it. It's a tough schedule. 4 playoff teams coming here. All those big games. You know, yeah, some wild cards in the equation. Not sure what San Fran's going to be with McCaffrey. Not sure exactly what, you know, Miami's going to be here because there's always a question mark there about Tua. But, man, Buffalo, you know, Buffalo's good. And you know what, Bills Mafia, I said this on the radio, I think you may want to echo the sentiments, can this be the season where we shut out other fans from coming in and taking over? Because Buffalo, you know, that's early in the season. Bills Mafia, you know, they're going to – I just hope, and I get it with the secondary ticket market, can this be the year where we finally bow up and keep other teams out of Mercedes-Benz?
Depends on how exciting we are.
Right.
I mean, this is what gets back to these primetime games and eyeballs that normally don't pay attention to Falcon football go, man, they're pretty good, or wow, that Penix kid is legit. Mike, if he comes out, and let's just say, no pressure, Mike, 350, 325, mm-hmm, 3 touchdowns, 310, 2 touchdowns, all of a sudden people are going to be like, man, he's throwing this thing around. It's fun to watch. And then it gets to, I got to go see it. And that's when you start to block out these tickets that you're talking about and other markets. You know, we say this all the time. It's like people say, oh, you can get a ticket in Atlanta. You can. But so can I. I can do that in Dallas, too. And I can do it in Miami, for those who don't know. Like, there are other markets who deal with this. But when our team is exciting and we haven't been that, we've been good. We haven't been exciting. And if you are, Mike, then you become the show.
I know that we've talked about it over the years, and it's sometimes you have to explain it. You and I do interviews. You do more national stuff than I do, but people ask you about it, and it's like, well, you don't understand. You know, it's just, it's the Georgia Dome. We're just getting things rolling. We go into a new stadium, and now we haven't been in the playoffs in 7 years. you know? And then half the time late in the season, you know, it's a 1 o'clock game. You know, there's 40,000 people, if we're lucky, yes, in that stadium.
Yes.
I'm hoping all that changes and we get back to the way it felt in 2016. You know, we've seen it here. We know what was capable when Mike Vick had the Georgia Dome cooking, when they brought out that 300 section and people started selling it out. So we hope we get back to that. But yeah, this year, this schedule, if we are who we think we are on defense and Penix is the things you're talking about, we might get flexed to even more games. We might wind up with more national games than what the Jets were going to have last year with Aaron Rodgers. Right?
I agree. Yeah, at the end of the season, you're in the hunt. Your team is fun. The NFL realizes the matchups are compelling, and all of a sudden, flex, flex, flex. You just don't know. And you know, again, that's somewhere we haven't been. But when that happens, that's the sign that your team is taking the turn. And we haven't been there. That Washington game last year, the Commanders, everybody's like, oh, think about it, man. I mean, you have two of the young stars that, you know, that right, are coming up in the league, and they lived up to it. Jaden was great, but so was Michael.
It was a back and forth in that game, and like, you know me, I've harped on it a number of times. It happened. I just thought, you know, he was not going to give me an inch on that argument that day, but I just felt, look, if you use those timeouts a little more judiciously and you give your guy a chance to make a few more throws, then you can get that bum field goal kicker in range. Apparently the range was 35 yards, but we could have actually won that game. Didn't happen that way, but I think a lot of folks saw that and said, hey, maybe that's some of the things the NFL schedule makers saw and said, maybe that's something we want to see more of this year. We mentioned it earlier. This is the year we're hoping to win the division. If we win the division and we go 9-8, 10-7?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get into the overrunners. We got plenty of time for that. NFL owners meeting, you know, this week. We're going to find out if apparently the idea has been out there. A lot of teams like the idea of Reese. Are you cool with this idea, Carl? If you don't, you know, if you're the team that has less wins, but you get at least to host one home game and then you reseed the playoffs. In other words, teams could be the second place team in their division, have 12 or 13 wins, still have to go on the road to a 9 or 10 win team.
Yeah. Look, I think if you win the division, there has to be a reward for that. And that's the debate that these owners and the competition committee are going to go through the next few days. You can't say we just won our division. Hypothetically, remember how we were in such control last year? We thought we might go undefeated
right
in the division. Let's just say that happens. Let's say the Eagles, NFC East, hypothetically. You're going to tell me the Eagles don't get rewarded for that? There's no way that you can do that and not, Mike, have, you know, these teams, the owners, having an issue with that. So, yeah, this is the complicated part. But you're right. Give me a home game, and then let's reseed.
Right, because if you start to take away any idea of being, we've seen it, the most probably egregious one, but ironically, the Saints got the win. I mean, I'm sorry, it was the Seattle Seahawks got the win at 7-9. That was the Marshawn Lynch setting off the
earthquake
meter at the University of Washington where they get the big win. He rumbles for like 80 yards against the Saints. But, yeah, I mean, if you want to say if you're a 500 team or just one game over 500, you at least give me that. Because otherwise, then all the tiebreakers go out the window. Your division record, all the things we've banked on for years.
No doubt. NFL news, the Browns have signed quarterback Shedeur Sanders to a four-year, $4.6 million contract. That news just coming down. Also, we didn't mention this earlier, but Nick Sirianni gets an extension. Not surprised. He is the Super Bowl champion coach.
Right.
But Jeffrey Lurie talking about a multi-year contract. The terms of this deal has not been, you know, put out there, but there should be no surprise here. The Eagles, he corrected things that were wrong. And, Mike, this is the thing about Sirianni that I actually like. He took himself out of the play-calling duties. For those who don't know, Sirianni was an offensive coordinator.
Right.
Things weren't going well the first couple of years, and he was like, I'm not going to do this. And he's hired coordinators, even Kellen Moore now, who's with the Saints, who've done a terrific job, guys. He brought in Chip Kelly, did a terrific job. He's been smart enough to know, I don't need to do that. I need to focus on the team and the culture.
Raw.
And that is why they've had success. I love that about him.
It's funny because we were on him from day one. Day back in the old days before you were producing, we played his initial press conference. I did rock, paper, scissors with you. We're like, oh, this guy's an idiot. This is another bad, bad press conference. Hey, he's won a Super Bowl. Okay, he's been to two. He's won one. And now he gets a contract extension. And Carl said, I mean, this guy was practically dead man. Hell, they're ready to run him out of town.
That's
right. At halftime of that Saints game before
they went on that
around.
Losing streak.
Right.
Not this year. It was last year at the end of the season.
They blew the number one seed.
Yes. Yes, they were 10-0, and so, but right. he gets a deal. My point about Shedeur Sanders, guys, is that should not be surprising to you. And you're going, wait a minute, he's signing his deal. All these rookies are slotted. He's got his deal. Now he can move forward, Mike, and we'll see if he wins that job. Mm. All right, man, what's coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, did Angel Reese take a dive?
Ooh.
the other side of this story is the WNBA investigating. Was it racist or just somebody making a strange noise during a free throw? A lot of folks are saying, what's going on up there in Indiana? We got that. And the greatest sporting event from this weekend, that nobody saw. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds! Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, man. We saw an interesting storyline with the WNBA's first weekend of action because, needless to say, Caitlin Clark moves the needle. And the Angel Reese confrontation, Carl, as Chicago gets smoked by Indiana, the fever. I got a fever. And the only prescription is more Caitlin. So they get into it. Now, you could argue that little poor young Carl White, Caitlin Clark, was just getting pushed around last year by those big, bad WNBA players last year. Well, this is the ESPN narrative. Everything ESPN loves from one of their morning shows. Just stir the race thing, get that cooking, and talk about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. It was a hard foul. Needless to say, Caitlin Clark was the victim of many of those last season. Some feel that Angel Reese, though, did take a dive. I looked at the video earlier today. She kind of went there. She kind of, like the way LeBron does it.
This was not a flagrant foul for me, by the way. Now, I get it. She falls to the ground. To your point, Mike, was it a hard foul?
Yeah.
But it wasn't a flagrant foul in the sense that I felt like Caitlin Clark was intentionally trying to harm her. She comes down on the arms. Right. Arms are part of the ball. Depends on who you talk to. Hands are part of the ball. I come down. She came down hard. I didn't feel like it was, like, excessive. And the way Angel Reese was acting, I was like, where are we, at the park? I mean, she's untucking her shirt. She's like, what? What? I'm like, Angel, calm down. It was just a hard foul.
All of a sudden, it was like, white man can't jump. I'm going to go back and get my gun and shoot all of y'all. So then she's on the line, and somebody had, like, a noisemaker, which it's just something like a noise, like, bop, 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 while she's on the line. And now they're gonna investigate that. At first, when I heard there's someone, they were talking about, like, untoward behavior, I was afraid someone yelled a racial epithet or something. Sure. I said, no, somebody had, like, a noisemaker. So WNBA apparently is going to investigate. Either way, it will drive the boat because it's got all the elements. Angel Reese last week We talked about while Carl was on vacation, always in a tough spot because invariably they will ask her. And again, the first game was against, you know, Caitlin Clark. So they asked her about Caitlin Clark, and she basically just rolls her eyes and doesn't want to talk about Caitlin Clark. How do you deal with that? It's the same stuff that Magic had to deal with all the time with Larry Bird getting all the juice. So I don't know. Does she pivot? I could make the argument that Chicago Sky Public Relations could help her out a little bit and say, look, yeah, me and Caitlin were part of the same draft class. We're competitors. She's got her team. I got my team. And then just move on. But they do drive that every week. So she just, you know, again, it's nothing with being immature because there's lots of immature athletes in basketball and football and men, not just, you know, whatever. It's not just her. But it just seems like they're not helping her. Day-to-day, we talked about this last week because it just seems like it's going to perpetually be asked of her every time she's in front of a microphone.
Yeah, and the other part, we were actually just kind of talking about this in the break. I think the WNBA also has to recognize that that's not necessarily a matchup you're going to have to keep trying to have anymore because the two teams aren't even matched.
Right.
In talent-wise. So you don't, you know, while those two names, yeah, may draw, like, as a matchup and you want something good on TV, you're going to have to probably move along from that matchup as far as being prime time.
Right. A couple of things going down over the weekend, Carl. You know, there's lots of teams that have, like, a really tough luck history. We are now currently one of those. Mina Kimes, last week while you were off, basically said Falcon fans are some of the best fans in football because we stay loyal.
Thank you, Mina.
We have a fatalism, but we still have that hope springs eternal thing. And it was kind of fun. She did it on her podcast. One of the teams that's out there now, you got to just feel for the Toronto Maple Leafs. For those who don't follow the NHL, these guys, it's kind of like Auburn. If the Canadians would be like Alabama, they're Auburn, and they just never get a shot. And this year, they're actually better, and they blew it against. They had a chance to basically put the Panthers away. They were up 2-0 in that series. Panthers come roaring back, and then Toronto fans, basically, in a very unpolite Canadian way, start throwing beer at their own team at what used to be called Maple Leafs Gardens. I'm not sure what they call it now. But so the Canadian fans losing their cool. And then garbage displayed and junk and everything outside the stadium.
Yeah, it was bad, no doubt. Look, Stars were a better team, in my opinion. But I'll say this. And I know Mike has. These hockey playoffs have been so good.
Really have been.
They've been really entertaining. But it should never come to that, though, right? But, I mean, people just – they lose their minds, man. And the hockey matches, Mike, or these playoff games – they're so intense, and the fans are intense.
Well, I was – because, you know, I'm a big NHL fan. I'm watching I got a buddy who's a big Panthers fan. He was game 6 down in Lauderdale. Maple Leafs, they got one of their captains is going, wake the blank up, and the mic is picking it up.
Because
it's like, this is an elimination game, and you guys are sleepwalking. So that's all she wrote. So Toronto goes home. One of the other things, in addition to the PGA Championship, Carl and I touched on that earlier, Scottie Scheffler wins his third major. I thought this was the greatest thing I saw all weekend, but I didn't see it live. I didn't even know it was happening. Because once again, guys, the Kentucky Derby winner doesn't race in the second jewel of the Triple Crown, which basically makes the Preakness irrelevant. But the horse that did run, journalism, if you didn't see it, unbelievable, come from behind victory. From basically, and there's only like 9 horses in this race, Carl, but from like 7th place, it basically has to muscle out another horse. It's basically getting sandwiched on the rail. It's like a NASCAR race, like rubbing is racing, and then pokes through and wins the Preakness. And I didn't even see it live. I got a buddy of mine from Baltimore who's at the race. He goes, did you see this? And I'm like, no. And then I watched it, and I'm like, I put it on social media. And everyone's like, I didn't even know the Preakness was on. Because it just loses its luster. I think it's like 7 years now in a row where Kentucky Derby winner hasn't raced in the Preakness.
It's not the same. The fact that this horse should be chasing history is what the appeal is. Mm. And if that is not happening, I'm not interested. That's why we watch the Derby, to see who's going to be chasing history, right? And to see if this can be pulled off again. So, yeah, I totally did not watch it either. I was not interested.
And again, if you hadn't had a chance, I know guys have ponies, as we said. Most people, you watch Kentucky Derby, once they don't race the next race, forget about it. And that's a shame. NBC pays good money, by the way, for these ratings.
Oh, I know.
Or lack of ratings. But anyway, the race was pretty amazing. Check it out. Hey, man, what about losing your cool on the golf course? We talked about this over the weekend. A lot of players had their drivers taken away. Rory McIlroy's driver didn't meet up to standards. Apparently, the face gets too beat up,
yep,
or too thin. well, maybe these guys aren't smacking this thing around like, you know, like the way these guys hit with the club speed. Same thing happened in DeChambeau. Scotty Scheffler had to use a different driver. Well, maybe Wyndham Clark needed another driver. After he misses his tee shot badly, he basically tanks around and helicopters his driver right into the signage that was behind the tee box. He literally nailed one of the marshals. Imagine if he hit the marshal in the jimmy with the club head when it detaches.
That would have been a problem.
Or a guy, imagine on live TV, guy goes, son of a biscuit. And all of a sudden, hah! The driver shish kebabs a marshal or a camera guy. That would not be good to have like a Monty Python type sketch where a guy has basically got a driver impaling him and he's like, and drops dead right there on the tee box.
Well, he did. Look, you can't lose control like that. I thought that was reckless of him to just do that in that moment. But Mike. Right. I think there was so much frustration. First of all, the course was hard.
Yes, it was.
It was extreme. Like, it made those guys look like weekend golfers. I mean, everybody, the fact that Scottie Scheffler shot what he did is incredible. Considering the first 2 days, you're like, oh, well, this is going to be a long weekend. So, yeah, man, I did not like Wyndham doing what he did, but I get it. I understand why. And look, how do they not know these drivers were not legal?
Well, I didn't even know this was a thing, but apparently they do have these tolerances. So I guess for guys who play golf, the face of your driver, apparently it just gets worn down, and I guess they have these tolerances. I guess we're talking about like thousands of millimeters. Yeah, who freaking knows?
Yeah.
But either way, guys had to go get their gear and had to use. Now, for most guys, you know, you have a club you feel good with. It's kind of an adjustment for a major to have to go to something else.
It is. It's all about feel. It is.
And then afterwards, it was kind of funny. Balionis, the young lady you see who does all the post-match interviews for CBS, the one that was linked to Rory when he was thinking about divorcing his wife, she goes on social media and says, thanks to Jon Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau for taking the time to do these post-match interviews, obviously after they're having a really bad day in the course. Some are going, uh-oh, shots fired at Rory, who did not speak to the media.
Surprised?
Yeah, you know, he's already been making an argument about that. You know, I don't want to talk to you. I've had a bad day at the office. Taking my lucky charms and I'm going home. But he couldn't hit a fairway to save his friggin' life up at Quail Hollow.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect from him. I thought he'd be better coming off of the Masters. But listen, this is the thing. You just achieve, like, the most emotional thing that you've chased your entire life. It's almost like a letdown, right? The next one, the next major, like, I'm good. Right?
Right.
I mean, seriously, I thought he was going to play better, but that's kind of how I felt. It was like, ladies and gentlemen, Rory McIlroy. He's like,
Yeah, you pretty much knew he didn't have it from the jump up there. Jon Rahm, we talked about it. Bogey, double bogey, bogey to wrap things up. Hits it in the water on the par three. That's all she wrote. But Jon Rahm, we played it earlier, took the time to say, hey, you know, there's bigger things in life, and I'll be okay, which I thought was nice. Meanwhile, guys, it's a Guy Talk. If you're just tuning in here on Dukes and Bell, coming up in less than 10 minutes, we're going to talk about the Falcons, Carl reacting to the schedule, and a lot of guys feeling this defense is going to have to be better when you look at the guys we're playing. Real quick, another story from the weekend. Why is a guy going to a Knicks-Celtics game at the Garden wearing a Pacer jersey? Now, I'm not saying that gives Knicks fans the right to throw garbage on the guy on 7th Avenue, but it's what happened because Knicks fans, as you guys know, are animals. They're like the worst of all the Mets and the Giants and the Jets all put in a blender. They're just meatheads. But the guy that was the victim of the abuse, name is Hans Perez. He's from Indy. Apparently made it to the Pat McAfee show, and then Tyrese Halliburton came on and said, you know what? I'm going to hook my boy up, get him tickets for the playoff games up in Indianapolis, which I thought was really cool. So this kid gets to go, but I mean, again, it's like you and I go to a Falcons game, see a dude wearing a Steelers jersey. Okay, if the Steelers aren't playing, if it's the Falcons and the Bucks, now, I don't get it.
I don't either.
I mean,
I don't either.
I'm going up to Indianapolis, you know, and I don't know. If the tickets are right, the Sunday night game after the Indy 500, I was telling Carl, I don't know, I mean, I haven't been to a Knicks game in forever, but I mean, what, maybe $200 or less, maybe we go? I don't know. There's a number, right? There's a number in your head. But I'd be curious because the Knicks and the Hicks, for those who don't remember, the old Reggie Miller stuff with Spike, Reggie's going to be on the call for some of the games at TNT. This is going to be fun, and they are really kind of rehashing all of that great history from back in the day.
It's a great place to see a game, and the fans are totally into it. I mean, it's Indiana. They know hoops. So they love it, and it's going to be an crazy, insane atmosphere. Everybody's talking about the Garden. Y'all see that tweet Trey put out there about Knicks fans?
Right.
And how loud, you
straight
know.
Straight shade.
It was. But Trey.
He lives rent-free in their heads.
He's not lying about this. I mean, like, seriously, the fans in that arena, it gets super loud. So, yeah, man, I don't know, Mike, what the ticket prices will be. But yeah. I will say this. That thing will be sold out.
I was up at the famous steakhouse called St. Elmo's. Carl's been there in Indianapolis, and we're walking out, and this was after they lost to the Celtics. It was game three up there, and Carl said it. That's a basketball-crazy town. I mean, the movie Hoosiers is about a passion they have for that. That's why, you know, they love their women's basketball, too, with Caitlin Clark. But just thinking about it, like, and this was the year I said to myself as a New Year's resolution, I wasn't going to spend all this money on sporting events. Good luck with that. Hey, by the way, hear what happened at Indy 500?
No.
Roger Penske. If you guys don't know who Penske is, he's won a ton of races, legendary team owner. He also owns Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He also owns the Indianapolis Racing Series, IndyCar Racing. So it's kind of like, Carl, if the guys, like if the Rooney family owned the NFL and the Steelers were caught cheating. Kind of hard. How do you really dole out the justice when you are the guy doling out the justice? Point I'm getting to, if you hadn't seen this, it's very wonkish and technical, so I won't go into too great details, but the cars that were qualifying in the top 12 were found to have cheated, so they moved them all the way to the back. They're going to start 32nd and 33rd. And this is the defending champion, Joseph Newgarden, and they've already been accused of cheating before. So it's not looking good for Penske. And a lot of folks are saying, what kind of Mickey Mouse thing is this when you got the guy that owns the series, owns the track, and his guy's been caught cheating for a second time? So the optics on his arm aren't too good. The good news is for the race, you'll have those guys with really good cars running all the way to the front from the back. So it'll make for a good race.
It should make for a good race. I love, and I know as we get close to the end of the week, but the pageantry of just the stuff that happens before right. The race, man, it just puts you like in this prideful American
yes.
mood. Like you're like, this is us, you know?
We already made a plan. I'm thinking of taking Day-Day next year. We're going to get him away from his 37-person cruise ship vacation and try to get him to the Indy 500 next season. But anyway, so keep an eye on that. A team that looked horrible this year has got the car on the pole with a guy who was born in Israel from Russia. It's kind of a crazy story, but Primo Racing. Anyway, we'll get more into this later in the week. But Indy 500, guys, if it's on your bucket list, give it a kick.
Coming up, guys, it could be a blueprint for what we are going to do with our quarterback. Find out what we're talking about next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.